podcast is brought to you by
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We go.
Well, come on inside and get yourself something cool to drink.
Condescend me, man. Fucking kill you, man.
Man, fuck that shit. I ain't finna shoot nobody.
Oh, you know I can't let you go without tapping that ass.
How you like the sound of them bells, bitch? They real pretty, ain't they?
God damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
What's special? Take in the back and suck your dick.
Bravo. Bravo.
Happy New Year and welcome all you QT faithful to the latest edition of Tarantino Speculation, the quarterly news and information series here on the Church of Tarantino podcast, where we ruminate, hypothesize, and speculate on all the latest developments in the Tarantinoverse. I'm your host, the Reverend Scott K, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to our year in review winter episode and first of 2024. And joining me on this adventure, this journey into the new year, is friend of the podcast and co-host of the B News USA podcast, Mr. Pat Fornes. Welcome to the speculation, Mr. Fornes, and may Tarantino be with you always.
And also with you, Scott. Thank you for bringing me back.
Well, you know, this is one of the few times you're going to be on this year. Last year, you were on really? A lot. Yeah. In 2024, the year of the pulp, we're trying to do one person per thing, which I'm trying to expand it. And, you know, but that's why I had you on, my Christmas special, which hopefully people enjoy. That was a lot of fun.
That was great.
For those of you who don't know, this is the duck/goose killer. He will, if you have a duck or a goose at this time next year, he would like you to send it to him down in near New Orleans. And he will shove all kinds of corn to that cocksucker.
Personally, force feed it to death.
Now, did you actually, I didn't ask you on the episode. Did you actually force feed it or someone else do it and then you just go ahead and
buy it? Oh, no, somebody else does it for you. And then you just buy it in a can and you open the can and you just have a great time.
That has got to be one of PETA's top five grocery items to buy a year.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, it's illegal in California, at least.
And that makes sense.
It might be illegal to send, like, in the mail in the U.S. or something. No, it's a big no-no, but it's delicious. Again. I had it on the 24th again. It's amazing. You're missing out if you've never had it. I really highly recommend it. Completely barbaric and delicious at the same time.
On the 24th of Christmas, you choke a fucking duck to death.
Yes.
And then on the 25th, Elwood Jones will invite you over and you can have 27 fucking birds jammed into 27 other fucking birds for some giant bird centipede roast. So, yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, it means you missed out on our Christmas special. So you should definitely check out that fucking fun, chaotic event. We definitely beat Lucas's Star Wars one, hands down, blew that out of the fucking water.
Absolutely.
And it's just as packed full of insanity and ridiculousness as what we just talked about.
And singing.
And there may be some singing going on.
I love the singing.
Well.
I didn't know you had it in you. That was a hidden talent.
Oh, well.
At first, I was like, Dean Martin sang that song?
And I'm like, oh, wait. Dean Martin. I woke him up from the dead. I said, Dean,
please.
I know you've been dead. And you know what? Crazy? Dean Martin died on Christmas Day.
Oh, he did?
Dean Martin's death is actually on Christmas Day. The year eludes me, so it doesn't matter. I mean, he's dead. It doesn't matter when he died. He died on Christmas fucking Day. Wow. He's been gone a minute. He died in 1995 on Christmas Day of 95. So he's been coming up on 30 years.
Well, he sounds good for being dead.
He did sound good for being dead nearly 30 years. And I was like, hey, I know none of these references are you can understand. Don't worry about them, Dean. Just sing them. Trust me. You'd be fine. So thank you. Thank you, Ghost of Dean Martin, for being on the show.
That's amazing.
So what have you been up to lately there in B News USA land? And do you have any New Year's resolutions for this beautiful new 2024?
Well, B News USA has been chugging along. We did recently.
No pun intended.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't even intend that one. We just did one of the best beers in the world, which is from Vermont. It's called Heady Topper. It's you live not too far from there. there, huh?
I don't, but that also sounds like a possible sex act.
Well, it's one of the best beers I know.
You drink a Heady Topper, and then you get yourself a Heady Topper, and yeah. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to one and all.
I could see Tarantino seeing a Heady Topper. But so we did one of the best beers in the world. It's probably the best double IPA in the world from Vermont, Heady Topper. And, you know, we just keep on keeping on. We just drink a different beer every week and just, you know.
How do you decide your beers?
Oh, just sometimes listeners send us beers that they like. That was the case for the Heady Topper, or we just go when we don't have imagination, we just go to the big supermarket. There's a supermarket near me that has beers from all over the world. I just, you know, walk
find
around
a can that looks good.
Yeah,
you go,
and that's okay, the one. All right, let's try that one. You know, one of those. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And what was your other question?
Your resolutions for this year, this beautiful American election cycle year.
Oh, boy.
Yes, exactly. And also, I mean, being that it's an election year, it also means that it's a fucking leap year, so we get an extra fucking day to deal with this shit. There's going to be some Olympics at some point. And who knows? I mean, I'm sure it's going to go out with a fucking bang.
Well, I have half of my... I know this is going to come out in January, but we're recording late.
We're recording December. Just a couple of days left of 2023. So this will be out the second week.
I have half of mine of doing dry January, and I just got to convince my co-host to do nothing but non-alcoholic beers for a month. I don't know if that's going to flop. But I'd like to try that this year. You know, not getting...
Is that because you're worried about your liver turning into Fergal?
Is that actually I'm you know, as I'm getting older, I can drink less and less beer and feel like crap in the morning. I'm sure you can relate. We're about the same age, so I can't drink like
damn near ancient at this point.
are you like that too?
There's a lot of things I don't like to do anymore. You know what I mean? It's like it's a young person's game. It really is.
Yes, absolutely.
Or it's because you do too much when you're young. That's why it's harder when you're older. I haven't decided which one that is.
You think?
We don't do anything in moderation when you're younger.
No.
And that's the crazy thing is for whatever reason, when you're younger, you just think, I've got to put everything inside my body right now without thinking about any repercussions down the line. And as you get older, you start going, you know what?
And you think you're going to be young forever. You think old age is not going to happen to you. It happens to old people, but not you.
Well, in my mind, I'm still... probably now early 30s in my mind. Yep. You know what I mean? But my body's like, hey, motherfucker, damn near 50. Guess what, cocksucker? Guess what, cocksucker? You probably got more days behind you than you do in front of you.
Guess what, dude? You had two beers last night. Now you feel like crap for 2 days.
I'm not a big beer drinker. I prefer some cocktails, some mixed drinks.
I can't do that anymore.
One to two at the most. You know what I mean? But it's and I just enjoy drinking. I like sip on them. I'm not like bang, give me another bang. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sometimes my daughter's like, Dad, do a shot with me. I'm like,
nope.
I'm like, I'm almost 50. Like old people don't do shots.
No.
What am I in a movie? Do I have to now kill somebody? You know what I mean? Like I feel like now we're going on a mission. You know what I mean? Like. That's a part of it. I'll do the job. There's no mission. There's nothing. I'm just trying not to shit myself later. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The mission, so there you go.
Yeah. Mission is waking up not half dead in the morning. That's the mission.
Let's go to work.
All right. Well, we are here to discuss the events that have happened this year in the Tarantinoverse. And really, it's been quiet since our fall episode 3 months ago, which is kind of surprising considering some of the things that have disappeared that were in the way, some blockages. We'll get into that. But we're going to start in the order in which the year of announcements came. And we're going to start with one that's been a fucking thorn in my paw for the year. And I promise, since this is still, but I'm recording this in 2023, I will leave it alone after this. I will not bitch about this announcement.
Are you
after
sure?
I promise.
You promise.
We'll promise. We're going to move
heard
on.
It here. You've
because
heard it here.
At this point, I'm thinking that from what's going to happen after this, I talk about this, is we're going to hear more and more, as I do believe this film is going to start, I think, filming this year, but we're going to find out.
I think so, too.
Now, we start our year in review with the biggest announcement of 2023, that being Quentin's declaration back in March, while on the European leg of his Cinema Speculation book tour, that despite vehement claims by himself back in November of 2022, during his American leg of that very same book tour, that he had no idea what his next and last film would be. Lo and behold, 4 months later, he not only had an idea for it, but a fully finished and ready-to-shoot script entitled The Movie Critic. This means that the movie is either the fastest script he's ever written, or it's just an abbreviated version of his 8-episode TV show that he announced was his next project during his American leg of his book tour that I was on and heard him say, back in November.
Well, I'll say one thing. Okay, I'll let something out of the bag right now. I won't say anything about what it is or whatever, but I have written a TV show. I've written 8 episodes, all right, of a limited series. I've written all 8 episodes. I direct all 8 episodes. I need to do a polish on it. But, you know, that might be what I, like, start setting up next year.
Dude. Can I read, please? Can I read for you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. Hey, it's on camera.
Yeah, sure.
And you signed a contract. You don't realize what you signed when you
walked out. Yeah, right.
Dude, you have a fucking 8-episode limited series?
Yeah.
That's so exciting. And it has not, you have not sent it
out?
No,
I like my agents read it, and like a couple people I'll be working on as producers. They're the only ones I've read it.
This is breaking news.
Yeah, it is breaking news.
Holy shit.
Doesn't count as my 10th movie.
Just do the math. No, it doesn't.
Original plans were to begin filming this past fall, but due to a writer's and coinciding actor strike, filming has been pushed back, and all we've been left with has been rumors and speculation that we will dive into later in the show. Now, Mr. Fornes, what was your initial thoughts when you heard this announcement? Since I have technically now been on the air with you, so to speak, to discuss this. We've discussed this in private, but not officially in this space. Now, do you like the film's title? Has it grown any sense? And what do you speculate the plot will be about?
My first reaction was, I'm sorry, what? The what? I know plenty of guests have talked about that on your podcast previously, but if you read all the movie titles so far that we have, Kill Bill, The Hateful Eight, and Glorious Bastards, The
Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction,
The Movie Critic. What?
Even the ones he didn't film, From Dusk Till Dawn, Natural Born Killers, True Romance.
Right.
And we'll finish it off with The Movie Critic.
The Movie Critic. that sounds like a very pedantic French movie title. Like, ooh, this is a serious movie about people that talk about cinema and appreciate cinema for the art. That, you know, like,
there'll be plenty of black and white and smoking going on in this film.
Exactly. And people sitting around coffee tables and just pontificating. No,
wearing berets, eating baguettes. whatever stereotypical French thing we Americans think.
Smoking baguettes, eating berets, whatever. Yeah
exactly.
So it's not juicy, it's not sexy, right? So I don't know. So has it grown on me? Probably, because I, at the end of the day, I just trust him. You know, you just got to trust the process, as they say. Just, you know Tarantino's going to come out with a banger, especially him thinking that it's his last movie. So I'm sure it's going to be spectacular and great. It's just that title just does not do it for me. Now, is he going to pull a rabbit out of his hat and fooled y'all? It's not going to be called The Movie Critic. It's going to be called Last Mission, or something more. I don't know. So, yeah, it has grown on me because I trust him, but I'm not super excited about it.
Oh,
I don't know. Well, I'm excited about seeing it. It's just not giving me anything to be excited about, that title. But what do you think?
I mean, like you said, it is that movie. The only thing I've had on discussion on this series is maybe because, if you go back to the 70s movie, since this is going to be filmed with the aesthetics of it being in the 70s, that maybe it's like, the Driver, The Getaway,
It's, right. Which
it's that type of name in.
He hasn't done the 70s yet.
And the exciting part about it, I was thinking about this today, because those of you who don't know, the day that we're recording this, I also just released the very last hymn of devotional on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I was thinking that while I was walking my dog, that we're going to get back into the 70s music, like from the Pulp Fiction, the Reservoir Dog, and the Jackie Brown soundtracks, which were three of the more popular ones. We're going to jump back into that sound. So that does excite me about the fact that we'll get one last hurrah in that genre that is just been, I think it's the soundtrack, no pun intended, or not intended to be so contrite, but it's the soundtrack to most of his films. I feel like even to his life. Yeah, we use the 60s stuff. That's his younger days, his early stuff. But the 70s music, the soul, the hip hop, the R&B, that stuff is going to really, I'm looking forward to see what he's going to dig up and he's going to use throwing into these movies or into this movie.
And if you think about it, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is all about, as in the title, it's all about inside Hollywood, and it's fantastic. So I'm sure the movie critic is going to be more of the same. It's going to be inside, kind of inside Hollywood movie making stuff, and I'm sure it's going to be great. and amazing. So yeah, and like you say, it's 70s. Yeah, Taxi Driver, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great. It's just the title is not as juicy as you know, from like you said, from the get-go, like Reservoir Dogs, like what is that? Like Pulp Fiction, huh? You know, it's always like something that the title already is almost like those exploitation movies. The title's already getting you excited.
Yes. Yeah. All those titles have always hooked you a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, just, you know, even Jackie Brown, like they've always hooked you somehow. Like when you heard The Hateful Eight, you're like, right. Like Inglourious Basterds, like, I don't know, but this sounds phenomenal.
Yeah. Django Unchained, like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a throwback to like the, what, some of his favorite movies, like Rolling Thunder, you know, yeah. It's like, whoa, it's getting you excited. You don't know what, Apocalypse Now, you know, it's like, whoa, yeah. like it's like two words put together that just make you kind of, it's evocative. Movie critic is not evocative in the same way, but hey, I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Can't wait.
Now, in your opinion, let's be the last time I ask this question. Is this just his TV show adapted into a film, as I've been claiming for nearly a year?
Well, I've never heard about that,
Or is this
Scott.
An idea that he has had in the vaults that he just dusted off and finished during his four-month break between book tour legs?
I have no clue. And that's the first time I hear you mentioning that, Scott.
Well, I'm glad this is the first time you heard this.
Yeah, you promised this the last time you talk about that.
This is it. Yeah, we will. How about this? The fans don't know, but this podcast has about a year. I think 5 years into it. Right, 5 seasons. I think is will be the end of it. I feel that this year I'll get through Pulp Fiction. Next year I have something planned for season 4. I think that's when we'll maybe get the movie at the end of the year. I'm thinking at the end of 2025, it'll come out. We'll discuss that in a minute. And if so, then the fifth season, the final season will be out. We'll spend the time, just like we'll for Pulp Fiction, discussing nothing but the final film and stuff like that. And so we might talk about it again in 2 to 3 years. But until then, I will not beat the drum on this anymore. But unless, of course, he announces that as fact, and then I can go, ha-ha, I fucking told you. But what do you think? Is this, you know, what do we think here? You think that in between November of 2022 and March of 2023, he suddenly said, you know what? I'm dusting this bad boy off, and we're going to fucking polish it up. And here it is. I had this idea for a long time, The Movie Critic. Or was this actually the TV show that he said, you know what? This might actually be easier and work better as a film. I'm going to fucking do what I did with Inglourious Basterds, which was originally going to be a miniseries. I'm going to tighten it up. We're going to polish it up. I'm going to keep the things that are necessary and make it a movie.
Yeah, I think it's more that the second option. That it was a TV show, and then he realized that he already has something. I don't know. Because is it a project that he thought of doing like on the side of his movies? Like, you know, like in parallel, and then all of a sudden that's his 10th movie, which kind of sounds odd. Doesn't it sound odd?
Does.
Like, oh, this is my side project, something fun to do for a TV series. And then all of a sudden, no, my 10th one, yeah, we're just going to make that into my 10th one. Because if he had not decided that 10 is it, you could just say, okay, he's just going to make that into a movie. But knowing that it's his final movie, it seems kind of odd to take like something that you had plan for like a side project to make that your magnum opus, like your last hoorah. Like it just, I don't know. Something doesn't sit right with that, especially with that title. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just, it just doesn't jive.
As I've said on this podcast a couple of times, he should never have announced that 10 was his number. He should have just, 10th comes out and he goes, guess what, folks?
That's it.
This is it. And then on the thing, it says the final film from 10.
Yeah.
That's it. And then we'd all be like, holy shit, as opposed to you've been saying it for so many years now. Now we know. And now you've put yourself into this corner where if you do want to do some more movies down the road, now people are like, nah, just like Jordan retiring or just like Jay-Z retiring. We knew you weren't retiring.
No.
But if you don't, we're all going to go in with like, I don't think this movie's ever going to live up to the expectations. It's almost like he has decided to tell us what's inside the fucking case. Right, like there's no way it lives up to the hype that we're gonna build up for it. Because normally, when you announce a Tarantino film, you're excited about it. You're going to it. There is no expectation. But when it becomes the last one, and you've had such a strong track record, people are just waiting to tear it down. Like the detractors are just waiting to shit all over this fucking thing and say, "Oh, look at this. He was right. He is losing this." You know what I mean? So if he had just bowed out quietly and said, "This is my final film," when it's already coming out, it'd have been a lot better. But or even surprise us all. As soon as the first thing rolls and you see it says the final film by Quentin Tarantino, people be like, but he can't keep anything in the bag. You don't ever tell Quentin Tarantino a secret. He couldn't keep it. There's just no way. He's got to tell people.
But like I said, like you said, he painted himself in that corner, and now he can't make a side project into his main movie anymore because that's the last one. So you know what I'm saying? Like, it can't be like a pet project. No, it's got to be the last, final, amazing. You know,
this is why I said I do believe it's the show, because if you know anything about Tarantino, he does not have anything just simply ready. And if you go back 6 months to the very first volume of this, I played all the audio together of him talking in November and on the Shigeru show and everything he said. Yeah. He had no plans for the film, and suddenly 4 months later, and as I say, and I'll say it for the last time, it's not the fact that he changed it. It's the fact that no one asked him, hey, so you're going to do the TV show next? It could just be that simple. No one asked it. It's like, I said this recently too. It's as if you had a wife and I met her. No one can see, but she walks through that door 4 months ago, and you're like, hey, that's my wife. Like, hey, nice to meet you. And then another woman walks through that door, and you go, hey, this is my wife. And I go, I don't ask you a question. Like, I'm pretty sure you were married to a white woman, and I believe that was a black woman who walked through the door. Are we just going to pretend that it's just your wife? I'm not going to ask you a question. 4 months ago, it was a different woman, and now it's this woman. Like, you know, that's exactly what's happened. It's like
just like in the TV shows, like in the next season.
Yes. When someone's killed off, you're like, that doesn't look anything like that person.
Right. Or they switch actors, and now you're supposed to, you know, believe that that's
exactly. Yeah. Anywho, moving on. Back on May 22nd of last year, Tarantino announced the passing of his fictional character from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the late great Rick Dalton, at the age of 90, apparently from natural causes. Bullshit. We'll talk about that in a second. Two special podcast episodes were dedicated to the life and career of Rick Dalton over on the Video Archives podcast. And as I spoke about back in our inaugural episode for this series in July, QT has stated that he wrote a biography on Rick Dalton. Whether we'll ever see that book is speculation for a later date. Mr. Fornes, how have you been coping since the passing of the late, great, whiskey sour-loving Rick Dalton? And are you also a little suspicious that he would have died of just natural fucking causes? Not some kind of maybe frugal like liver incident that might have dropped him. And in fact, he lived to 90? Like
whiskey sour? No, I don't know. 8 whiskey sours a night? Make it to 90? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I just like the concept of, I think it's so cool to make up a character and then like 2-3 years down the road say, wow, he just died. You know, this is so sad. I think it's, you know, it's neat. It's like we're still believing in the alternate universe that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood created, and I think it's such a cool idea. He was on Margaret Cho's podcast like a couple of years ago, and he talked about the career, Rick Dalton's career after the movie, after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like in the 70s and et cetera. And I thought it was very interesting, and he was so specific, like he was talking about him like he was a real person, and I think that's so cool. That's just great. I just want to know, is Cliff still alive? Like we don't know.
No,
he's not alive.
No. He killed somebody and how about this? Cliff didn't go out for natural causes. Cliff went out cool. Somehow Cliff's death was way cooler than just natural causes in Hawaii with his wife or whatever. But that's probably fine. He has stated that he has written a book on, you know, a biography on Rick Dalton. And obviously, if you listen to those two episodes, it seems like he's got a lot for it. So when he will or won't put it out, maybe now that he's, you know, put himself into the corner that he's going to make this movie next, the book won't come out till after the movie, so he's probably not gonna try to jump in and have it get lost. Although I think he would have been better suited putting the book out now before the movie, because we're still, Once Upon a Time is the last book we've had, right? So now you have to wait a little bit. Like, if he were to come out with Double V Vega book or something like that, we'd all be excited because it's been a long time. It's been over 30 years since that movie. Yeah. We'd be excited. But it's hard to keep wanting to stay with the Once Upon a Time crew now that we're getting ready to move on to something else. And he might have to wait a couple of years down the road for us to see the Rick Dalton book, if it ever comes to life. Now, I did some research prior to even asking you this question, and I could find nothing where another fictional character had been killed off by its creator in a press announcement, as opposed to like either on screen, in the pages of the comic book, in a book, you know, in the actual medium with which they live. Mm. Can you remember or think of any other fictional character that its creator just said, hey, guess what? This guy's fucking dead. Move on. Like, you know, like George Miller comes out and goes, by the way, Mad Max, fucking guy died, all right? Inhaled a lot of sand, fucking kaput. We're moving on. You know, like, no one's come out with something like that. Can you think of anybody?
No, I can't. Which is why it's so cool. It's Tarantino. That's why we love him.
I think it's also why other people hate him. I think it's a very love-hate relationship. We see it as that's kind of cool that you've updated us on these characters we love. And sometimes, as we'll talk about maybe in a week or two from this podcast, about getting blue-balled by him. But I think also some people might see it as this just fucking guy just wants to still continue to be relevant. He's always got to fucking announce something. Fuck you. Fuck Rick Dyer. I know there's some people out there
like self-indulgent.
Who rolled their eyes and like, oh, this fucking guy, here we go again.
Guy made up his dad.
Big fucking do.
No, I could totally see that. Like self-indulgent and stuff. We just happen to love it. And, you know, it's just, it's like you said, the world is divided into Beatles fans and Beatles people and Elvis people. And it's just like that. You in with Quentin or you're not. It's just, you know, we in obviously, and we love it. We indulge him. We wait for him to indulge, you know, into that fantasy stuff. We love it. So no, but I can't think of anybody else doing that. That's pretty cool. I have looked for those two episodes on the Movie Archive podcast. I couldn't find them. Like to listen to them for this episode. Really? I couldn't find them. I don't know. I really haven't been listening to that podcast, to be honest with you.
It's hard
excited.
To stay up with it.
Well,
me.
Yeah, and
with all the stuff I'm doing too.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm producing mine. I'm listening to yours and a bunch of others. And it's that one when I listen to it, it's like it's two people that talk about movies that I've never seen and I probably will not ever watch because one, I might not want to, and two, I probably can't find them anyway. It's just like, I was excited about it before. I was like, whoa, Quentin Tarantino's doing a podcast. This is gonna be amazing. And then it's so niche. It's niche inside of a niche inside of a niche. You know, it's a movie podcast, which is great, but it's a movie podcast about movies that were only on VHS that him and his buddy watch, and almost nobody else in the world watches. It's like, oh, dude, like, do you have to be in a niche inside of a niche within a niche? It's like, I don't know.
I know. There's a part of me that wishes he, and again, it's his own thing. I get what they're doing. It's because they own all, you know, he went and bought the entire fucking store.
Yeah.
Like, he owns all the videos that were at that place. So he owns it all. Roger Avery got fucked because he didn't make enough money. He got the fucking laser discs. You know that? Yeah, exactly. So poor Roger. I feel bad for the guy. It's always second fiddle to Quentin. But you sometimes wish they would pick some movies and talk about the movies you know and hear their insight into them. And it's okay to be some B-movies that are, you know, avant-garde here and there. But sometimes you're just like, okay, this week they're just picking. It's almost as if they go, like, you know they have popular movies on the fucking shelf. They don't talk about The Thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, talk about Pride. Like, talk about some of the movies we know that you have. Why are you pretending? Why are you pretending you don't have these movies? Like Die Hard, we're not going to talk. Well, you're just going to bypass them?
I know. It's just too niche.
Yeah. Like, at some points, I'm like, all right. I mean, I don't care what your idea this week is on Crocodile USA. I don't know. That's a fucking movie.
Right.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't really care about this. I don't have the 6 hours to listen to you talk about it.
Yeah.
So, but hey. But if he does start to talk about whether or not certain movies are what, I'll jump in. Yeah. Speaking of kind of physical media, back in May, the same time frame, Lionsgate announced that it had partnered with Quentin Tarantino and was releasing three of his films on 4K Blu-ray in the fall of 2023. Those films being Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, as well as Jackie Brown. Now, as of this recording, not only have those 4Ks not been released, but there hasn't been a rumbling about them since this initial announcement. I even went on to Lionsgate's website, to their physical media, their shop. None of those movies are in there. Nothing. I looked everywhere. Nothing. It's as if they were announced and then fucking gone.
Now,
as much as I would like to add this to my list for the church's upcoming Inglourious Blue Ball series that debuts 2 weeks from the release of this recording, I cannot, since it's technically out of QT's hands, and he wasn't the one who made the announcement. Mr. Fornes, what the fuck is up with this bullshit? Why haven't these been released yet? And when will we ever fucking see them?
Oh, no. It's Blue Ball City with the Tarantino stuff this year. I find like this year we haven't gotten anything substantial. It's just, I'm announcing this. This is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Six months later, crickets. You know, this is going to be great. And then nothing, you know. So
I got a TV show. I got a movie. We got some Blu-rays. I'm doing a puppet show.
We got nothing. Dance. Oh, here we go. Boom, but a big. Nothing.
Oh, I don't think anyone's made a bigger career on announcing something and nothing happening than them.
Nothing happened this year. Like, we've got
nothing.
A bunch of stuff, and we got nothing.
Nothing.
But okay, so I think I told you not off camera, obviously, but off mic that I'm not a
in
big
the secret bunker.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's in the unreleased tapes. Yeah, no, I think I talked about it on the show. I'm not the biggest Kill Bill fan. So, and you know, to me, it doesn't do me much. But Jackie Brown 4K. I was excited about that, and obviously didn't get anything. And I remember the announcement very well too. We did get Natural Born Killers in 4K. Which I'm going to get very soon.
Yes, but that obviously, just like we have True Romance, those are side, you know, I mean, they're in the realm, but they're not
We did get
official.
Pulp Fiction.
We did get Pulp Fiction. And we have Reservoir Dogs.
And
we
Reservoir Dogs, which is breathtaking. Reservoir Dogs in 4K is breathtaking. I watched it again. I watched the opening scene again last night to show one of my friends. It was like, look how good it looks. And it's like, you look at the faces, like they're just the opening scene, and it's just like they're in front of you. It's unbelievable. So we'll wait. I mean, we have the Blu-rays, whatever, but
well, there's also some rumblings that they're going to also, you know, Lionsgate, now that they've kind of owned most of his stuff, that we would also eventually soon be getting, because next year, for those who don't know, or I should say this year, because we're in this year when you're listening to this, there are four major anniversaries coming up in the Tarantino verse, being the 20th anniversary of Kill Bill Volume 2, the 30th anniversary of the Natural Born Killers release, 30th anniversary, obviously, of Pulp Fiction, and the 15th anniversary of Inglourious Basterds. And Inglourious Basterds has been rumored as well to be getting one of those 4K releases from Lionsgate, which we'll probably never see, because apparently Lionsgate's too busy giving money to John Woo to make shitty Christmas movies. Anyways, well, I talked about that in a different podcast. So I guess this is a pointless question to you, but do you think we'll get the whole bloody affair as a special feature on one of the Kill Bill releases?
No, I don't think so. I think that's like the white whale of all white whales in Tarantino verse. But yeah. I don't understand Inglourious Basterds in 4K. It's already in 4K.
Apparently, either there it's being released on that by Lionsgate, or it's being on released what? By on like an Arrow or something. It's 24K. 24 karat. Nothing better. Let me tell you. Sorry. I've seen it. It's the best ever. 24K is the only way to go. Trust me.
Like we've never seen before.
Never
folks.
Seen before. You've never seen so many bastards being inglorious before in your life. Oh, boy. Well, staying with your favorite movie, Kill Bill, back in July, Mr. Tarantino himself killed Kill Bill Volume 3 speculation by saying it is extremely unlikely that the film will ever happen. However, as we will discuss on our upcoming aforementioned series, he's not always a man of his word. And
what?
Maybe, because we also, in my very first episode, we talk about Double B Vega, aka the Vega Brothers, and how that may or may not turn into a possible novel one day. So I think Kill Bill, I would like to see it possibly, if they were did Volume 3, maybe in novel form, or giving it to someone else, and maybe an anime form.
I can see
because
that.
Because the animation in Kill Bill was pretty fucking cool. And if any of his movies would parlay into a really cool animated Netflix release or whatever release, I think the Kill Bill Volume 2 could really work. You could still bring back the voice actors. It doesn't matter what they look like anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So it does kind of hide that for them.
That would be cool.
Now, are you surprised at all by this news? And did you ever think we would actually get Kill Bill Volume 3?
Honestly, no. I mean, hot take, I know this is controversial, but a lot of people were hoping for Kill Bill 3 to be his last movie. And I'm like, no, please. So apparently it's not happening, which I'm glad because, like I said, I'm not a big fan. But hey, to each his own. And I think, like you said, anime, that would be cool. I would even probably even watch that. Yes. Yeah. I could see something like that. Why not?
I think some of the reason it got a big push was back in 2021, it really got a big groundswell from, what's her name, who played Vernita Green?
Vivica Fox
was pushing for the possibility of this. She even appeared in a music video for SZA last year with the song titled Kill Bill, with the theme being exactly about that. And she helps this woman around. Anyway, see the video. She was pushing for Zendaya to play the daughter. So there was a real push that was getting some groundswell. Our good friend, Miss Sin Electric, even created music for it to try to inspire him. And she even was able to hand him a tape at a meeting one time. Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, Synelectric's cooler than you think. So there was a push. There was definitely a groundswell in 2021. And I think it spilled over into 2022. But I think, yeah, obviously, as time's gone on, it's died off. And I do believe, I think maybe some of it was, we were hoping he'd do Volume 3 to force him to then have to do another movie without him knowing it. You know what I mean? I think it was that, like, oh, do a Volume 3, do a sequel. And then he'd be like, I don't want to go out on a sequel. I'll do one more. And we're like, we got you. You know what I mean? It's never going to happen. No. And unless it gets into some kind of other medium form, I'm all for that. The only positive thing that I think I will learn on my journey through his Blue Balls is the fact that he is with him being a writer now. He's retiring from directing, which I think is key. Doesn't mean he's retiring from writing.
No, no.
So he has, we've seen, he's given three projects away already in his lifetime for people to direct. And I do not mean this to be blasphemous to anyone who's a huge Robert Rodriguez fan. Robert Rodriguez could use a few of Tarantino's scripts to...
Now, that's a good idea.
Now, let's think about this. Rodriguez, some of his best movies, in my opinion, two of his best films are him directing source material. From Dusk Till Dawn, written by Tarantino, he directs it. Fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And the only movie I think of his that jumps that is Frank Miller's and him, Sin City. What he did with those two films that he didn't technically write, spectacular. So if there's anybody that Tarantino might feel comfortable allowing to, would be our boy Rodriguez. And anything where Rodriguez has touched that Tarantino has kind of helped with has been spectacular. So he could, you know, could use a little boost. I think it would be great. But again, this is total speculation and hope and just pure hope that that's what we could see is that if there's anyone he trusts, it would be him. And also possibly, and I don't know if Edgar would be into it, but Edgar Wright is a big fan of Tarantino's and Tarantino has spoken a lot with him and they're good friends. So it could be a possibility. Maybe we also get Edgar Wright and Rodriguez. Who knows? Maybe one day they'll get a chance to take a script of his written and fucking run with it. But that's for another date. We never know. We don't know.
That would be amazing. Written by Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez directed. That'd be great.
Edgar Wright directed. That'd be fantastic. Because Edgar Wright's got, I mean, if you watch Edgar Wright, he is the British young Tarantino-esque type of person.
Remind me what he did.
He has done Baby Driver. Yeah. He has done The End of the World. He has done, the cop one?
Oh, the Cornetto.
The trilogy. Yeah, okay, and one of my favorite. Okay, yeah, gotcha. He's done Shaun of the Dead. Like, he's done a lot of great films. So.
Oh, yeah, that'd be amazing.
And his Baby Driver is spectacular. What he's done with Baby Driver is unreal. So, and they have very similar tastes. He's great with music, just like Tarantino, but he's got his own flair for it. Like, both of those directors could service some work of Tarantino's quite well. Yeah.
Good. There is hope.
Now, this is just a hypothetical. What film of Tarantino's would you have liked to see get a proper sequel?
Well, the Vega brothers, obviously.
Yeah.
To me, in an alternate universe, instead of Kill Bill, we would have gotten the Vega brothers movie because both actors were still young enough, and that would have been just unbelievable. I mean, I love Michael Madsen. I love those two characters. That would have been just unbelievable. You know it would have been.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, in 2 weeks, you can listen to how I feel about it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
You could just sit there and just, you know, fantasize about that movie and what it could have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would want to see that. Or read, like, if he can just sit down and write it, unbelievable. Yeah. And you know what he could do? He could put music cues in the book. And you can have like a playlist.
Oh, absolutely.
And a playlist.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and it's like cue whatever song. And,
I mean, American Psycho does it. Anyone who's read the actual book of American Psycho, Bret Easton Ellis did it. There's a full two or three chapters just for talking about albums. He talks about a Huey Lewis album. He talks about a Whitney Houston album. And he talks about a Phil Collins album. And obviously the Huey Lewis one turns into the scene in the movie where he's walking around with the fucking axe and kills Jared Leto's character. So I love that. One of my favorite books. But yes, so it's not unheard of before. It's definitely a thing he would do. Yeah. Again, we shall see. 2024 brings with it new hopes.
We didn't get anything this year.
We didn't get fucking
nothing.
Shit.
We got Blue Balls.
Just like in the movie Spaceballs when the Black Star trailer goes, we ain't found shit. It's like, we ain't got shit. So we got this year. Nothing but Blue Ball Central.
And we're sitting here with our money. Like, come on, give us something. We want something. Take my money.
Well, we've already started to do some speculation, but now let's jump with that speculation into some rumors. Everyone likes a good tea session, as the kids say.
When you little scamps get together, you're worse than a sewing circle.
And these rumors and speculations are about the movie critic. Because of last year's writers and actor strike, Tarantino's final film, The Movie Critic, won't start filming until sometime this year, which means we most likely won't see that hit theaters until either summer or Christmas of 2025. Now, to be honest, I truly thought by now, with both strikes being over, we'd have heard some concrete casting announcements. But that is not the case. So all we have been left with is rumors to speculate on. Now, the most credible one is Paul Walter Hauser being offered the lead role in the film. For those of you who don't know, Mr. Hauser made a name for himself with roles in I, Tonya, Black Klansman, Richard Jewell, Cobra Kai, and of course, Blackbird, which he won a Golden Globe for. Now, the role he is rumored to be playing is Jim Sheldon, a movie critic for a 1970s porno rag. Now, of course, at the time of this recording, Mr. Hauser still has not been confirmed by any official sources to have been offered the role. Mr. Fornes, are you familiar with any of Mr. Hauser's work? Do you like him as the possible lead in the upcoming film, or were you hoping for someone else to be offered it?
No, I like him. I like Paul Dano also. I think his name has been floated also, but what has it been on? Okay, he looks so familiar. I've seen
him. He has been in I, Tonya. He has been in Black Klansman. He was the star of the movie Richard Jewell, about the security guard who, during the bombing at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, saved people and then became the first main suspect and then was finally cleared. He has played some roles in the TV show Cobra Kai, and he was on the Apple TV Plus series Blackbird, for which he won an award for.
That's where I've seen him.
Yes. Great, and you've probably seen him in the other ones. As soon as you see his face, you're like, yes.
Oh, no, I see his face. And Blackbird was amazing. Did you watch Blackbird?
Spectacular.
Oh great. Yeah. So, yeah, I like him. I think it's a fine choice.
I think some other people were hoping maybe, if not him, Jesse Plemons would be a good one. But when you see his face, and this is not me being mean to him or being a body shame or anything else.
No.
When you see his face and you think about what the role's going to be, you go, he looks like a guy who would write for a porno rag in the 70s about movies, right? Like, you go.
Yeah, it fits.
Because if I were to say to you, I'm going to show you three pictures, and you tell me which one of these guys does the exact thing, and you go,
do a lineup.
Him. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't know him, that's that guy.
That guy.
That's him. That's who he's definitely writing for pornos. If he's not writing for pornos, he may be on a list. That's all I'm saying.
Lives in his mom's basement. I like it. I think it's a good choice. I like that actor. Plemons would be good too. I like Plemons.
Now, when do we think this will hit theaters? Is Tarantino going to aim this for another Once Upon a Time summer release in 2025?
I think so.
Or do you think he wants to close it out with the big old Christmas, add a fourth Christmas Day release?
I think summer 2025.
Yeah? Because so here's the thing. Summer 2025 would be a lot easier for me to do the plans I have, not having to work at school, being able to travel across the country, and not worry about taking time off and not getting paid for it to do it. It would definitely work out for my plans.
Please.
It would. It will give 6 months breath to then have a season devoted to it the following year. Mm-hmm. Give it a little bit of time. So I am quietly hoping for next summer, for summer of 2025. That would be great. However, he's got to start filming it now. It usually takes him a year turnaround.
Yeah.
So he's got to start filming it spring, summer of this year for that to happen.
That's what I'm thinking.
If it happens, it'd be great, because it would work out. For anyone who's just new to the podcast, thank you. And interesting that you would join on this episode. But hey, you get in when you get in. No, exactly. Anyway. You're missing a lot of information.
We apologize.
There's a lot of things that have happened prior to this to understand the camaraderie and the things we're talking about. For the final one, I am picking up as many of my guests and friends along the way, and we're having a caravan out to LA to watch this movie in his theater on one of the opening nights for it. And then getting together somewhere in some hotel something and recording one giant circle jerk, I don't know how we'll make this work, of a
video.
Podcast.
We promise
to talk about it. Yeah, a review of the movie and how we all feel about it.
Yeah.
And then, in fairness, my friends across the pond who are unable to make it, I am then going to make a trip over a couple weeks later, fly over there, hope to see it at the Prince Charles Theater over in London, making my first trip to the UK, getting to meet all my friends over there, and then doing a similar thing over there. And then hopefully the following year in 2026, just do nothing but talk about the film. So those are the plans. But those of you who don't know, I'm also a teacher, and we get the summers off. It'd be great if it's in the summer, because I can make that work. If it's a Christmas time,
not the same.
I'm going to have to really save money because my wife's gonna be pissed if I take a week or two off without pay. So,
oh God, I can't take, do that.
I'm, you know, one of them got the fake, not the fake death. I'll do a family leave. One of my family members is gonna be faking a death or a bad sickness, and I'm gonna be taking care of them out in L.A. So
just hope they don't ask you for the death certificate, because that has happened to one of my coworkers. He had to take off for I think his dad's funeral, and the principal said, "Can I see a death certificate?" It's like, really, dude? Like, really? Did you just ask me for my death certificate? So yeah, hopefully not.
Well, we'll be hopeful. We'll be hopeful that it's June, well, July timeframe of 2025.
Yeah, because Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out in the summer, so
it
did. Not?
Most of his films, though, have come out either in October, September timeframe, December. Or Christmas, or a few in the summertime. But normally, he's a fall person.
Hateful Eight was in Christmas. Did
Christmas?
Time.
Django's Christmas. Jackie Brown's Christmas. Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction both in October. Inglourious Bastards was in September. Kill Bill Volume 1 in October. Volume 2 in April, I think. Death Proof came out in April as well. When it was on the Grindhouse. So normally, he's fall, October, Christmas time frame. Actually, the very first real summer release was technically Once Upon a Time, but we'll hope maybe we get a summer release. It'll also depend, I think, probably what's coming out that summer from some of the big places as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
And lastly, there have been a slew of Tarantino mainstays being rumored to have possible roles in Tarantino's last film. Earlier last spring, Samuel L. Jackson was asked if he had a role in QT's final film, to which he just smiled and refused to answer. In October, rumors started circulating that Tarantino was in secret talks with John Travolta about a role in The Movie Critic. And just a few months ago, Kurt Russell's name also came up as someone who might have a role in the film. Now, of course, none of these rumors have been confirmed nor denied. And let's not forget, Mr. Tarantino himself said last year that he wanted Bruce Willis to go out in style with his final role being a cameo in his own final film. Now, those of you who don't know, I have a side project with my good friend, Mr. Steve Smith. We do Dropping a Bruce, where we look at all of Mr. Willis's straight-to-DVD releases. I have seen some stuff on him lately. Ooh, the aphasia is definitely set in. If Bruce is in this film, it will be some kind of almost like Val Kilmer-esque cameo in Top Gun Maverick, because, you know, he can't talk anymore because of cancer. So it's going to be one of those, like, hey, there's Bruce,
like Hitchcock in his own movies, just passing by, walking a dog or something.
Something. I don't know. Yeah. But we'll see. Now, Mr. Fornes, how excited are you that we might get to see some of these stars from the Tarantinoverse reunite for QT's last hurrah?
Oh, I'm excited.
And are there other names you're hoping that get added in there?
Well, you didn't ask me that, and now you put me on the spot. How about this?
You take a moment to think, but how are you feeling about these? How are you feeling about these possibilities?
I'm very excited, especially Kurt Russell. I mean, Kurt Russell has to come back. He's got it. I mean, he's amazing.
Really? Kurt Russell more than seeing Travolta one more time?
That would be cool, too. But I don't know. Something about just Kurt Russell. How can anybody? He's almost like Dolly Parton at this stage. Like, who doesn't love Kurt Russell? So I don't know if we talked about this, but I want my life to be narrated by Kurt Russell. Like, he's just such a cool cat. I mean, so yeah, more Kurt Russell with Tarantino's words, please. I want more. Yeah, of course. Travolta would be great. Yeah, that would be interesting. Who else? Now that's a good question. And I'm going to need a minute. How about you? While you answer, I'm going to try and find, because I thought about that the other day, and I can't, we old, I can't remember who I came up with, but it was a couple of people. Yeah.
Now, I love Kurt, but he's been in quite a few. So if he didn't come back, we did get him in Death Proof. He does the voiceover and makes another appearance in Once Upon a Time. And of course, he's in fucking Hateful Eight. So I would be okay if Kurt didn't make the last hurrah. I would really like to see Sam and Travolta back in the movie together again. I would love to see Travolta back.
Like in a scene together would be cool.
Either in a scene together would be amazing, but even if they're not, but it'd be great to see. I think Travolta. I mean, obviously, I think that Sam is in. Like, I don't think there's any word in my mind. The man is the most used member of the Tarantino, you know, casting department. He's going to be in this fucking film. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that Samuel L. Jackson is going to be in this film in some fucking way. So that's almost like he's in. I don't believe Bruce is going to be in much of anything, if at all. I would love it to be, but I think, unfortunately, maybe this writer's strike and the aphasia has really started to set in. I'd be surprised if we get to see him at all. So of them, Travolta's the most intriguing to me because, you know, of the four that they've named, he is the most intriguing because he's only been in one film. And for those who don't know, Bruce has been in twice. Obviously, he played Butch in Pulp Fiction, but he also was in The Man from Hollywood, the fourth room of the short film part of the little saga they did in 95 when they released this movie called Four Rooms, where Tim Roth was this bellhop and went to four different rooms. There was like an anthology story within it. And the last room is called The Man from Hollywood. Tarantino's in it. He directed it. And Bruce Willis is also a part of that. So Bruce Willis is technically in two Tarantino projects. So Travolta only made the one time, and it'd just be great to see John back in something.
While you were talking, I was thinking Jeff Bridges, I think, would be amazing in a Tarantino movie. I think him doing dialogue, Tarantino dialogue, and Christian Bale. Like, I really would want to see Christian.
Oh, so you're just pulling in people who haven't been in. I was asking, who of the mainstays?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't pay attention to the question.
Another person would be for me also is Buscemi. I feel like Steve should have been in more.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
but Christoph Waltz. I want to see Christoph Waltz one more time.
One more time.
I love him. I love him. I can't get enough Christoph Waltz.
This is my last question for you. Is there anything you're hoping to hear be announced that will actually come true in 2024? Do we think we'll finally get the actual official date of when they're going to film it? Are we thinking like early spring in the next couple of weeks to months that we're going to start hearing some actual official, you know, like, because it feels like if this is going to be released in 2025, because he wanted to release it, I think, either this summer or this coming winter. Here's my one thought. He was going to start filming in the fall, which means it was going to come out Christmas time, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
That was the original push. So if that's true, then if he's got himself another depth of time, we might not see filming begin till summer/fall anyways, and then we would get that fall release. If he starts the ramping up early, we'll know that we're going to get our summer reprieve and everything will work out the way we hoped.
Okay, so if you would have asked me last year, I would have said, oh yeah, it's just going to work out just, you know, according to schedule. This year, we learned that there's no schedule. There is blue balls left and right. It's like what we thought was a given is no longer, like, we can no longer just go on, oh yeah, it's just going to be announced and then it's going to, no. This year was just a bunch of, we're going to do this. Oh, wait, no, we didn't. Oh, no, we're not. You know, so I don't, logically, they would start shooting, I think, in the spring or whatever, but we don't know. Like, this year we learned that what we thought was going to happen, guess what? Another 6 months and you don't hear anything about it, just like the 4Ks. So your guess is as good as mine, but I would think, yeah, they probably start shooting, or we don't even know anything, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, guess what? It's wrapped, and now it's in post production. Like, that could happen too, you know. I don't know.
It could.
And you know how he is now since Hateful Eight, he doesn't want anything leaked anymore. Like, you have to actually go to his house and sit down and read the only script that exists in the world, and that does not get out of his house. So, you know, he's going to be tight lipped about it, I'm sure. So it's, I don't know. It's speculation. That's why the podcast is called that. But what do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if this is pushed or he scrapped it again.
If we never get the movie critic,
I would not be surprised.
No, you're right.
It had so much time.
The movie critic.
Because of the strike, he now has more time. He's had time to sit around and not, you know, whatever. So,
and he's got an excuse to not make it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he does. He has an excuse.
Whoopsie daisy, strike.
What am I going to do? Oh, whoopsie doos.
What you going to do?
Oh, I know. I don't know. We're just going to white knuckle it through like we always do. As a Tarantino fan, we're just going to hope and pray that something comes true and
we might never see the movie critic. It might be a book in 5 years. Who knows? We don't know.
It might become the show again.
It might become a TV show. It might be on Netflix next year.
He'll just change the name of it because he's not going to go with the movie credit. He'll just be something else.
Yeah. Who knows? He just keeps us on our toes. But, you know, this is fun. This is why we're doing this show, because one day he'll be too old and he'll be retired and we'll be old and we're just going to be like, you know, there won't be any excitement anymore because he would have done everything he was going to do, and we're going to be old. But right now it's still exciting. It's still going on. It's still speculation. Maybe will he, won't he, it's going to be great. Do you think? I don't know. So, you know, we just, it's fun. Like we're having fun, like we are today. So That's all it's all about, you know? We're just having fun. A couple of jerks talking about stuff we might never see, and that's it. And with a few people listening, and hopefully you're having fun as well with us, and that's what it's all about. Thanks for listening to us, by the way.
And that's a wrap on our year in review winter episode of our Tarantino Speculation series. I would once again like to thank my special guest, Mr. Pat Fornes, co-host of the Be News USA podcast, for joining me. Now, you can find the links to the Be News USA podcast and the show socials in our show notes. And as always, you can become a member of the Church of Tarantino by following us on all our socials. Those links can be found in the show notes as well. Now, be sure to subscribe, like, and follow this podcast so that you can stay up to date on our Tarantino Speculation series. New episodes drop quarterly, or whenever major news from the Tarantinoverse that needs immediate speculation on is released. So please join me again next week as Petros Patsilivas from the Caged In Coppola Connections and the Getting to Foyer podcast joins me to help kick off our character study series, where each month we analyze one of the characters from Pulp Fiction to see what makes them tick. Our first patient is the charismatic, heroin-loving hitman, Vincent Vega. So until then, I'm the Reverend Scott K. May Tarantino be with you always.
This has been a Man with an Exceptional Beard production.